The history of suffrage in Colorado is pretty extensive, and we have a very, we have a very proud history there that a lot of folks don't know about. We are the first state to vote and pass by a single-issue vote suffrage. So Wyoming and Utah were territories when they put suffrage in their constitution. We were the first state to pass it by a single-issue vote. So we have a very proud history.
The United States 19th Amendment to the Constitution passed in 1920.
Right.
But Colorado's support of the woman's vote suffrage happened when?
In 1893. 27 years before it passed nationally. So we were really the first state to pass women's suffrage by a single-issue vote. It's insane. And we've kept that legacy of women. I mean, if you think about it, women in the West, I mean, they come here, they're building fences, they're, you know, setting up the farms.
It's all hands on deck.
It's work. I mean, women here were out of the box pioneers from the very beginning.
Frontiers so. Women, afraid to shoot a coyote or chop down a tree or whatever. Yeah. It's what it took in the West.
Exactly. And so that just kept and permeated all parts of our culture here, and it stayed. And immediately the second year after it passed in 1894, we elected three women to the state house. So we are the first state to actually have women elected to politics. Susan B. Anthony came and visited, but there were several women reporters, actually, women journalists, women who were actually working at Rocky Mountain News. And there was one gal who started the Queen Bee, which was the first women's paper. The women were actually really great at educating the men, because the men had to vote to pass suffrage. So it's an interesting dynamic of women educating men. And I mean, there were some great arguments about, well, like Cleopatra, she could run an entire country, an empire. So, and women can't vote? What are we talking about here? So, you know, the story, the way we did it is we really told the story of the women who were educating the men. There's some amazing women here, mostly journalists, as I mentioned. But just the fact that it happened and sort of the timeline of events leading up to it are really fascinating. And then we just use photographs. We have about 100 photographs in the episode bringing it to life.
And you said, this almost went by me, you said Susan B. Anthony came to Colorado?
She came. She saw, she spoke, she left, and then she really didn't like to come back. So there's an interesting story about her.
Let's hear the clip.
The very first thing that this Women's Suffrage Association did was to invite Susan B. Anthony to come to Colorado and stump the state and convince all the male voters to pass this referendum. Well, she'd never been out here.
In Southern Colorado, the Easterners are out of their element in the company of largely Mexican-American audiences.
There were a few trains available that she could ride on at least to come into Colorado, but when it came time to go to the small mining towns that were harder to reach, she had to ride in a stagecoach. She found when she went to these towns, which were filled with male miners, the only place that really men would come listen to Susan B. Anthony would be in a saloon. So she tried to speak in saloons and got a lot of catcalls and maybe things thrown at her sometimes. By the end of the trip, she vowed that she would never come back, that this was a big waste of time, that Colorado men are so backward that this really will never pass.
No. Well, she was wrong. Right. But if you think about it, go back to that time frame, the late 1800s. I mean, it's dusty and there's horses and it's mostly men. It's a mining state. So she really was not impressed. If you think about the East Coast back then, you know, there's roads and big buildings. And so she just really didn't think that we were going to be able to pass it here.
She had to speak in bars. Mm-hmm. And bars are usually, what, brothels, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
So the men weren't inclined to hear her opinionating on voting and stuff.
No, and she was, I mean, if you really, once you start studying the movement, I mean, it was very much an elitist movement originally. So the first time we tried to pass it here in Colorado was is right after we became a state. So we became a state in 1876, and we tried to pass it in 1877. It didn't pass. And so that's when she came. We weren't ready to pass it. And so the time in between 1877 and 1893, the women went to work organizing. And it really is a successful example of how to create and build a social movement successfully. And there was broad coalitions of like the Women's Christian Temperance Movement and then mining unions and book clubs and garden clubs and. I mean, it was very organized and very civilized.
Rocky Mountain PBS has developed supportive materials for the classroom mm-hmm. around Colorado experience, including this episode.
Yes, and we're really, really excited about that. We've had a lot of teachers tell us how amazing this series is in the classroom. So we're creating tools for all levels, so at elementary, middle, and high school.
Can we capture the gravity of this suffrage movement? I think young people just have no clue that there no. was Jim Crow, that the suffrage movement was a thing, mm-hmm. and it wasn't always this way.
My boyfriend's daughter is 7. And she is African American, so I started talking to her about suffrage, and she was shocked. She was like, women couldn't vote, and I was like, oh, and there was a time black men couldn't vote. So it wasn't, and her mind and her reality is so far from, you know, how it was at the turn of the century. And so she was blown away, and then that just reaffirmed for me the importance of telling these kind of stories, and for a general audience, and for the classroom too.